Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday night. It is 11:30 p.m. on the East Coast. And this is Matt Chat live on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Ace Diamond. And this is the next to last show of 2017. And that is a hard, that is a hard fact to believe. This is the next to last show of 2017. And what a year it has been in professional wrestling. And you know what? We're going to cover everything. We're going to cover WWE. We're going to cover Impact. We're going to cover Ring of Honor. And we're even going to cover the Northern Wrestling Federation, which I, of course, have been covering with my occasional co-host, NWF Hall of Famer and ring announcer, Miss Callie. But let's start off with, and you know what, we're even probably going to cover New Japan a little bit. But let's start off with the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble, wow, 11 months ago. The Royal Rumble was won by Randy Orton. And, you know, at the time, he was probably one of the last people I thought would actually win it. Because you had guys like The Undertaker, Goldberg. You know, I can't even remember. You had Roman Reigns in the Royal Rumble. I really did not expect Randy Orton to walk out of the Royal Rumble as the winner. If anything, I honestly thought he would help his leader at the time, Bray Wyatt, win the Royal Rumble. And honestly, I can't even remember if Bray Wyatt was in the Royal Rumble. But at the time, Randy Orton would not have been my pick to win the Royal Rumble. Then, of course, you fast forward to the Elimination Chamber, which was a SmackDown, I believe, it was a SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view. John Cena went in to the Elimination Chamber as the WWE Champion. Bray Wyatt, of all people, surprisingly walked out of the Elimination Chamber as WWE Champion, which led to Randy Orton turning on his leader and having a few or a couple of matches that culminated in a House of Horrors match, which you could definitely call it a House of Horrors for more than one reason. That was, you could probably call that a House of Horrible match, because, boy, that was bad. And then you had AJ Styles emerge as the number one contender. And, of course, AJ Styles Or no, you did not. You had the biggest joke in WWE right now, Jinder Mahal, I believe, actually emerged as number one contender. And he is the one who took the title from Randy Orton. Again, one of the worst mistakes I believe WWE has ever made was bringing Jinder Mahal back. And I was one of those guys who, for the longest time, said, no, Jinder Mahal, hard worker, all natural. And then at Clash of Champions, I got a real good look at his physique. I got a good look at his back, and then I realized he has been juicing. Maybe not the entire time, but the man has definitely been taking steroids, because you could see the acne on his back, which is a classic sign of steroid use. So finally, at Clash of Champions, fast-forwarding quite a bit, you had AJ Styles, or no, not even at Clash of Champions. I can't remember when he took the title off of Jinder Mahal. But at Clash of Champions, AJ Styles closed the book on Jinder Mahal, finally defeating him for what I hope will be the last time. Also, Clash of Champions, something that surprised me, and then 2 days later, something that really didn't surprise me. At Clash of Champions, you had a triple threat match for the United States Championship between Baron Corbin, Bobby Roode, and Dolph Ziggler. And the match was, to me, superb. I mean, the match was amazing. And shockingly, Dolph Ziggler walked out of Clash of Champions as the new United States champion. And 2 days later, cut a promo on SmackDown Live saying that we didn't deserve him as United States champion. And honestly, to a point, he actually has a point. That there was a bit of truth to that. We do not deserve Dolph Ziggler as United States champion the way he's been, the way we've treated him as fans, and the way creative has treated him as of late. We don't deserve Dolph Ziggler as champion. He laid the belt down. He walked out. Does that mean he relinquished the title? We'll find out in the next few weeks. I would imagine we'll probably find out this coming Tuesday on SmackDown. But going backwards a little bit, at WrestleMania, we also had the proposal heard around the world. John Cena finally proposed to Nikki Bella, and he did it in front of the entire world, which proves that John Cena has more guts than just about any guy on the planet. Because, I mean, he could have been turned down. And if he had gotten turned down, that would have been seen by millions and millions of people. And that would be devastating to any man's ego. I know personally that would pretty much kill mine. So, but, and I want to jump to Impact Wrestling for a personal note, because some guys that I know, not real well, but I've had the pleasure of getting to know. Oh, also, I believe this was the first year where every title in WWE has changed hands at least one time. But back to Impact Wrestling. For all the problems that Impact Wrestling has had over the years, on a personal level, I would like to congratulate OVE, who made their debut earlier this fall. Dave and Jake Crist, like I said, I don't know them real well, but I have had the pleasure of performing on a few shows with them. And for a couple of guys from Southwest Ohio, that's a pretty big deal. So but we But enough about the big time. Talk about the small time, even though it is the biggest, longest running company in Southwest Ohio, the Northern Wrestling Federation, a company that I've been following for several years now. I've just recently, as of late last year, really started to get to know a lot of the roster. I've had, I would say, 85-90% of the roster on the show with my part-time co-host, who, speak of the She-Devil, and she knows I'm joking when I say that, but Miss Tally, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Ace. How are you doing?
Oh, well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Having the show a little later than expected.
Going to leave it alone. Year in review.
Yes, the year in review. It's been a heck of a year for the Northern Wrestling Federation.
It's been a heck of a year all the way around, but yes, there has been so much going on in the Northern Wrestling Federation. The action is nonstop all year round, and I'm telling you now, we got a big show coming up December 30th, so literally right before New Year's. But we still have one more before that coming up this Saturday at Bone Crushers. But let me tell you what, it has been one hell of a year. We've seen the NWF Championship change hands twice this year. We have the Titan, who was legitimately blindsided by his best friend, his mentor, one of the people he probably considered to be his brother, Nasty Russ, who had unfortunately been away from the Northern Wrestling Federation for almost a year. But then we just recently saw the Titan regain his championship, and we have returned to the era of the Titan, and let me tell you what, nobody's happier about that than myself. We have seen a long-standing feud for the NWF Tag Team Championship between Tough Justice and the current champions, David Tyler and Jordan Clearwater, who have recently found new enemies in the Crimson Mafia. And let me tell you what, those three gentlemen, who we actually saw the return of Lord Crew at FanFest, those three gentlemen are not to be overlooked. They are dangerous, and with them being at full strength, buddy, let me tell you, those boys better come prepared, and they better have eyes in the back of their head. You've got a young talent like Lord Crew with a chip on his shoulder and a mean streak a mile wide. You've got the mercenary who is relentless. He's a former NWF champion, one of the most decorated champions in the company's history. And then, definitely not to be overlooked, the veteran of that team. He has traveled the world over, multi-time tag team champion. He's held championships pretty much anywhere that he's ever been. I'm talking about none other than Wildcat Chris Harris. So, needless to say, those boys definitely got their work cut out for them. We've seen the rising of young stars like Calypso, Lexus Montez. Those two have went at it multiple times. They're actually getting ready to go at it in an Ultimate Ladder match December 30th in Fairfield for what is right now held up the Northern Wrestling Federation Unified Championship. Calypso actually defeated Jay Donaldson earlier this year at FanFest in an Ultimate Ladder match. Both of these young guys have got so much talent. They've got so much going for them. I'm looking forward to see these two go at it again. We've seen some firsts this year, too. We saw Big Mama at FanFest dive from the top of the steel cage to the ground outside at FanFest. Let me tell you, I've never seen a woman dive off the top of a cage, much less outside. She has got...
Yeah, that was a sight to behold, for sure.
She has got more guts and more heart than just about any woman I have ever known, and I am proud to call her a friend. We saw her and her fiancé, the man, Roger Ruffin, who they've had their problems with Nasty Russ and the Pumpkinheads. We saw those two put the Pumpkinheads in their place back at our show in Halloween in a Halloween Massacre match. And again, we saw Big Mama put one of those Pumpkinheads through a table when she came off the top rope. I mean, she's full of firsts, let me tell you.
She is definitely a force.
She's definitely a trendsetter, a trailblazer.
Absolutely.
And I can honestly say I feel that the women of this company, the new young up-and-comers, any women that are looking to start training, they're going to have some big boots to fill. We've seen a few appearances throughout this year by none other than the Monster Abyss, who again will be in Fairfield on December 30th. He's going to tag with Roger Ruffin to take on Tough Justice, who feel they didn't need to re-earn a chance at the tag team titles. They thought Roger Ruffin should just give it to them. Well, after their antics at the anniversary show, in their original match between them versus Roger and the Monster Abyss, they implored some underhanded tactics. They got the cheap victory. But then the announcement was made. The Monster laid down the challenge. So on December 30th, you're going to see Tough Justice taking on the man, Roger Ruffin, the Monster Abyss, in a steel cage. Can you really ask for much more than that?
If I was Personally, Tough Justice, I'd ask for a lot less than that. I'd ask for the cage to be gone. I'd ask for Abyss to be gone.
I mean, I'm not sure the cage can contain those four. You've got, and it's very odd to call anybody in that match the youngsters, but Tough Justice are the younger of the four. Not by a whole lot in some cases, but they are the younger of the four. Taking on the man and the monster. And let me tell you what. There's a lot of experience involved in that match. But I have to give the upper hand to Abyss and Roger Ruffin because, let me tell you, I've been fortunate enough to not have him mad at me, but I don't think I would really want to be on the bad side of the Monster Abyss. And I have seen Roger Ruffin mad. I have seen him when he wants to get a hold of somebody. This is not going to be pretty. I hope they've paid up their life insurance policies. That's all I'm going to say to that.
Now, I've never personally seen either of those men mad, but I've heard stories. And from the stories that I've heard, yeah, I wouldn't want either of them mad at me either.
Like I said, Tough Justice better have their life insurance policies paid up.
Absolutely. And
we have seen individuals. Yes.
Go ahead.
We have seen individuals this year come and go and return. I'm talking about none other than Angel. Who, by the way, on December 30th in Fairfield, we'll take on the former Northern Wrestling Federation heavyweight champion, Nasty Russ. And let me tell you, after Russ low-blowed Angel, again, wouldn't want to be within 10 miles of the man. That is a big individual that... Let me tell you, I remember some years back being at training with Angel. Thank you, no thank you. Would want no part of that.
Uh-huh.
And all I'm going to say to Nasty Russ is, you made your bed, now you can lie in it. Please go ahead with what you were going to say.
You talked about people coming and going and mm-hmm. people that have been Trailblazers.
Mm-hmm.
I think we somewhat conveniently skipped over one thing. That is the anniversary show.
I'm going to presume you're talking about the plethora of superstars that were there from the past, from the present. Undoubtedly, we had a lot of our youngsters, what I'm going to call our youngsters, our trainees there, which is going to be our future. We saw gentlemen such as Honest Bret Michaels, who was in the Battle Royal. We saw for one night the return of Flapjack Jones, the millionaire himself, Austin Medler. Of course, we also had the NWF Hall of Fame inductions. This year, we not only had one inductee. We said we had three. We had four. We saw none other than the Backstreet Boy, Jason Cross, be inducted. We saw, for the first time ever, the women of the NWF as the first lady herself, Cindy, the longest reigning Northern Wrestling Federation women's champion. We saw Peaches inducted, as you so politely mentioned at the early part of your show. Those ladies also had a surprise of their own when they very graciously inducted me along with them. And I will say, on all accounts, it was an honor and it was a privilege to go in with those women. We started together, and let me tell you what, those were days I would not change for anything.
And
they
I don't know Peaches very well, but I've had the pleasure of meeting and briefly working with Cindy. I've had the pleasure of knowing you for several years. In my book, you all three deserved it.
I will say this for somebody that has known Peaches for a long time. She is a class act and an ultimate professional. And there was no greater honor than to go in with those two women. Because together the three of us set the bar in that company. And while I will say this, women's wrestling has come a long way since the three of us started, I still don't always believe women get the respect they deserve. But I'll tell you now, we worked damn hard to make sure we earned the respect of the crowd and that locker room. And the women that are coming up in the company now, women such as Big Mama, Aoka, who is out in California, I wish her all the best of luck in the world. I hear she's doing wonderfully out there. The young ladies that we have that are in training now, they are continuing to hold those standards that we worked so hard to achieve. And they're working just as hard to keep it that way and to make their own marks in this company. And I think they're doing a fantastic job.
I have to agree. And you mentioned women's wrestling, and that brings me to something that is upcoming, and I want to get your thoughts on this.
Okay.
Because I know you're a big proponent of women's wrestling, obviously. And
I
have become...
I'm also a harsh critic on it, but yeah.
Yes, you are. And I have become... a proponent of women's wrestling over the past couple of years myself, because I think some of the women that are like you said, busting their ass now are some of the best in the world, probably the best that have ever been seen. And just a couple of days ago, it was announced that there will be a women's Royal Rumble match this coming next month at the Royal Rumble event.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the fans are ready for that to happen?
I think a large number of them are. I think the biggest thing has been there's always been a fair number of women in the sport in general. I think this is the first time in a very long time they've had enough, and I'm going to stress the term women and not divas, because, some of the women that they have now were part of the diva generation.
Absolutely.
But I will say this. The ones that are still around now that are part of the women's division in WWE worked very hard to enhance their skills, to hone their craft a little bit more, because they knew with this next coming group of women, the I'm cute, let's slap each other around a little bit, we'll pull hair, we'll do a couple cute things, and that's it. They knew that wasn't going to fly with this new generation. And I had my reservations about a few of the women when I heard about them. I'm not going to lie. And to look at some of them, you wouldn't think a whole lot just on appearance. But let me tell you, I have a huge, and I do mean a huge amount of respect for all of the women currently in WWE. Because these women work day in, day out. And they're working in what is still, and what will always, in my opinion, will always be a male-dominant industry. But, and I will say this, thank you, Stephanie McMahon, for bringing the women to the forefront, making it possible for women to have the main event spot. Because these women deserve it.
Absolutely.
There have been women prior to them that I...
And women have main evented more this year than ever before. Possibly ever before combined.
Oh, absolutely. And there are women that are from older generations that I feel very easily could have main evented or main evented more than they did. But when you've only got a handful that can actually go out there, and I mean really go. You know, they weren't about being cute, although a lot of the women were then and are now still very beautiful. The one thing I will say is it's not all about being 105 pounds and big boobs. These women are athletic. You look at a woman like Sasha Banks or Alexa Bliss. They're a couple of the smaller women. But let me tell you, that's a pair of Spitfires right there. They'll knock the living dog piss out of you, and they won't blink when they do it.
Absolutely.
But on the flip side, you've also got women like Dana Brooke. You've got Nia Jax, who are two of the bigger women in the company. But let me tell you, they are both gorgeous women. They may not be 105 pounds, but they carry themselves with such class and dignity. And they are athletic, and they could go with anybody out there.
Absolutely, and I would have to imagine that with the women who have been not necessarily announced, because nobody has been officially announced, well, except for Naomi, she threw her own hat into the ring last night on SmackDown, but of the women currently on the roster that we would assume are in the match, I would have to think that somebody like Nia Jax, Dana Brooke, or even Tamina would be an odds-on favorite to win.
Oh yeah, you look at those three women that you just mentioned, and I feel bad for not mentioning Tamina when I mentioned Dana Brooke and Nia Jax, because Tamina's another one who, unfortunately, I feel gets overlooked quite a bit. Although she's had, over the past year or so, she's had multiple injuries, so. But she's another one who is an unbelievable talent. Those three, in my opinion, I agree, they would be odds-on favorites. They're not going to go out easily. I would imagine the only two women you're probably not going to see in that match, aside from the ones that are out on injury right now, and I feel bad because Becky Lynch is one of them, and unfortunately, we don't know if she's going to be back in time for the Rumble. But I would imagine the only ones you're not going to see, aside from individuals such as Becky Lynch, would probably be Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair, since they're the champions right now.
I would say you're probably right. And if they defend those titles at the Royal Rumble, then possibly them or whoever they face. And there's one X factor, so to speak, and that is the...
I'm going to guess you're referring to Asuka.
No, actually, not this time. I'm
really?
Actually referring to the possibility... and I'm not 100% sure this is actually going to happen, but I'm talking about the possibility of Ronda Rousey being in the Royal Rumble.
She would definitely be an X factor. She would definitely, I feel to an extent, because she is known for being a bit of a powerhouse. She's somebody that...
Yeah, she's a judo gold medalist.
She's somebody that I feel if she is in the Royal Rumble match, the girls are going to gun for to get her out and get her out quick, because she's another one that will not go quietly.
Absolutely.
And she's one, while these other girls don't fight, I feel might be a little... And I'm stressing the word little, less inclined to knock your teeth down your throat. Ronda Rousey won't hesitate.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm not saying these other girls wouldn't do it, but I think they're a little less inclined.
And Ronda Rousey used to do that for a living.
Exactly.
And did it quite well.
That is very true.
And if memory serves me correctly, she did it quite quickly a few times.
Yes.
We're about out of time, so I do want to thank you for coming on and assisting with the NWF year in review.
You're quite welcome.
And next week we will have guests. We just don't know who yet. So, and that will be the last Matt Chat of 2017. Where you and I will have somebody.
We will have at least one NWF superstar, and we will discuss the upcoming December 30th show. And what a huge night that's going to be.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. And I will let
and remember,
you go.
Folks, let me get my plug in here.
Okay.
Folks, remember, join us this Saturday night, December the 23rd, at 6105 Vine Street in Elmwood Place. We do have plenty of parking. Doors open at 6, special 7 p.m. bell time. If you bring a canned food donation, you will get $2 off your admission price. Those donations do go to the local food bank, so please come on down. Make a donation, enjoy some great, great wrestling action, and we will see everybody this Saturday. Ace Diamond, have a nice night.
Miss Kelly, you do the same.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it right here. And next week, we will have the final episode of Matt Chat for 2017. Miss Kelly and myself. And at least one NWF superstar. So for Miss Callie, this is Ace Diamond. Good night, everybody.